Talk Radio 570 KVI.
If our Republican counterparts can step forward with that revenue piece, we will be able to find a solution.
And if not, go off the cliff.
Money, 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 money. Give me more money. I got to have some money.
Got to have some more money. We're taking your call. Senator Scott Carty, Phil Vandervoort here at Talk Radio 570 KVI, covering the commute with Carlson. 206-421-5757 or 1-888-312-5757. Marion in Tacoma, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Well, thanks, man.
Hey, you know, this whole thing has just absolutely got me infuriated.
Yeah, it
is. You sit back and look at it, and I'm like, honestly, where the heck did common sense go with these people, regardless of your political affiliation? When you look at all of these cuts that could kick in and sequestration, the ripple effect with our military, the ripple effect with the economy. I'm a small business owner. I pay my taxes every quarter, you know. I send Uncle Sam a check, and there have been times in the past where I didn't pay enough, and I had to pay more. And I don't live a very, very moderate to low lifestyle.
You don't have champagne wishes and caviar dreams? What are you talking about?
I got a 2003 Kia as my newest car.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Ooh, man, you're rolling.
You know what I mean? And this thing with Patty Murray sitting there going, you know, hey, you know, maybe it would benefit us if we actually do fall off this thing. And I'm like going, do you people understand the ripple effect that's going to happen across this one world economy that we have? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insanity. I just don't understand. I can't fathom how they can't sit back and go, you know what? We are not in trouble. We are in jeopardy.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's been more and more discussion here over the weekend as it pertains to the fiscal cliff about how we're getting closer to Greece. Look at California, and I left it at my desk. I didn't bring it into the studio. But a columnist at the OC Register in Orange County, California, southern part of Los Angeles, is saying California is the most dependent state on federal government largesse in our country. And look at the budget deficits they rack up there. Somebody's got to have some fiscal control, some fiscal accountability, and pull back on the spending. More revenue
makes no sense.
Yeah, is not the silver bullet.
I mean, regardless of whether Obama ever balanced a freaking checkbook, the thing is these politicians understand they come from states and governments that have to balance their budget every year. And they've got to, it really frustrates me because I don't understand how they can't sit back and go, look, not only is our country, but our states and my neighborhood and my mom's neighborhood and, I mean, my children's neighborhood, all these things are in jeopardy if we don't make some very simple solutions in spending.
Yeah.
It's just so easy. But anyway, you know, everybody's frustrated out there, guys, and I'm glad you guys keep the conversation going, not only with this, with what's happened in Benghazi and all these things, people really got to understand that we're in serious trouble here.
Without
Marion from Tacoma, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 570 KVI. The old rule is you've got to call your representative, your congressman, your senator, and you've got to let them know. And, you know, it's as simple as going on and sending an email as well. But you've got to keep that heat on your elected leaders about these issues, because the idea that Senator Murray rolls around of let's just go ahead and go over the fiscal cliff and see what happens, mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable with that idea either. Marion makes a great point.
Let's go back to the Bill Kristol audio clip that we played before the bottom of the hour news update here on 570 KVI. And this is Bill Kristol, conservative commentator, Weekly Standard, on Fox News Sunday, essentially saying the Republicans should go along with President Obama on his plan to raise taxes on the rich.
The leadership in the Republican Party and the leadership in the conservative movement has to pull back. Let people float new ideas. Let's have a serious debate. Don't scream and yell when one person says, you know what, it won't kill the country if we raise taxes a little bit on millionaires. I really won't, I don't think. I don't really understand why Republicans don't take Obama's offer to freeze taxes for everyone below $250,000, make it $500,000, make it $1,000,000. Really, the Republican Party is going to fall on its sword to defend a bunch of millionaires, half of whom voted Democratic and half of whom live in Hollywood and are hostile to Republicans.
Bill, let me ask you about
So Bill Kristol's trying to go after the hostile to the Republicans that are rich. And he kind of gives this caveat. If you have the Republicans that agree with President Obama, maybe you move up that level. And instead of the $250,000 that the president's talking about right now, make it $500,000 a year. annual income or combined household income, or maybe even $1 million, and then you're really targeting the richest of the rich. But I'm telling you right now, and this is what we talked about Friday as you and I sat in for Carlson here on The Commute with Carlson, you'll start off at 250 grand if the president gets his way. You'll start off at $1 million if Bill Kristol gets his way, and then it's just going to creep. And once they get at $1 million, then somebody's going to go, you know what, everyone at $750,000 a year, you deserve to be in this group too. You need to pay a little extra. And then it's just going to keep going down, and pretty soon it's going to be at 250 grand, or it's going to be at 200 grand, and it's going to be at 175 grand, and you're going to start roping more and more people into this. And until there's some level of fiscal sanity with elected officials and figuring out these budgets, that's the only thing that puts a stop to this.
Talk Radio 570 KVI. It is 740. Scott Cardy in with Phil Vandervoort. Leslie in Seattle offers up an interesting perspective. Thanks for joining us, Leslie.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hi there.
Before I spout my little theory, I wanted to thank all of the veterans and all of the military who are currently serving today.
Absolutely. Thanks for making the note on that.
And I wanted to say that, oddly enough, I think there is something in common with the General Petraeus resignation and Patty Murray's comment about being willing to go off the fiscal cliff. I think they're both diversionary tactics. I'm hoping that Petraeus has volunteered to resign on the night of the election because they knew about his affair for a long time. They ignored it, but he could no longer support the Obama administration's policy on not defending people in Benghazi and other military issues. And I'm hoping, praying that as a private citizen now, he will be willing to be part of testimony against them.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I don't know.
Seems like a pretty big leap for a four-star general to take.
Yeah.
If that's the case, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think his future, it could be in politics. His future could be on TV. I don't think he's going anywhere. And as an advisor, as a consultant, the guy is not going to have any money problems as far as a career.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe he just couldn't take any more of it. It violated his own principles in one aspect. So because he violated them in another, he decided to take at least one honorable stand that might lead to another honorable stand.
Very, very interesting, Leslie. Thank you for the call from Seattle.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening to Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Yeah, the way to connect all these dots with Petraeus, it's still a little confusing, but the timing is just the one part that's impossible to get past, especially as we evaluate some of the, I guess, aspects of the election that were so close.
I heard one source on Friday say that there is so much more to this story than you're hearing right now. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that in this week, there's going to have to be a lot more coming out of information on really what happened in this timing. This timing is so unbelievably suspicious. And once we start to get the emails actually released, once those start to come out, you know that they're going to happen. You know that Paula Broadwell, who apparently is currently on vacation, you know, she was set to have a 50th birthday party this weekend. I think it was a 40th or a 50th, but some big party. And her husband had to send out cancellations to all the guests. And so, you know,
get together. My wife had an affair.
Yeah. And then she apparently emailed neighbors and said they're going to be on vacation, on a planned vacation. You know, we're going to have this sort of everybody duck and cover time. But at some point, as Leslie pointed out, Petraeus is going to speak. You're going to hear from Petraeus. There's going to be an interview where he basically fesses up and asks for forgiveness. And, you know, I hope he isn't one of those stupid guys who says, oh, I'm going to bring my wife in and make her sit by me as I do this.
Yeah, that will be.
You know, like John Edwards tried to, but thankfully his
wife said, enough of you.
Rest in peace, said, no, you don't go deal with that on your own. Don in DuPont, thanks for joining Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Good morning. Welcome to the big time, guys. So, looking at this, I think of simple things when it comes to political messaging. And at this point, you know, elections do have consequences. I would say the Republicans in Congress should consider everything, but they need to manage the message properly. And, you know, being a locally elected school board member, I just think of the three R's. And in this case, they're actually starting with R, which is reform the government first, review the reforms to make sure they are implemented, and then reconsider any tax or revenue increases as needed. I mean, that's a compromise because, you keep paying, putting money into the same broken machine and expect it to change. You got to change the machine first, verify that it works, and then see where the shortfalls are. And if after the reforms are out and there's not enough revenue, then it's only logical that you're going to have to go after some kind of restructuring to take care of things, whether it's reform of the tax code, increasing it, whatever it needs to go there. And one thing I'd put in there for a compromise, too, is a sunset provision on stuff. You know, it needs to expire so you don't have it continually hanging out there forever.
Yeah. Don, so just to refresh, it was reform, review, and reconsider.
Yep, that's what
correct.
I got. Yeah.
I like those. Hey, you know, let me ask you your perspective as a school board member. If your school district is facing their own fiscal cliff...
And many are.
What are you sitting on the other side of the table at those always thrilling school board meetings saying? What would you be saying?
Well, one, I find myself lucky to be with four other board members, and we have maintained a reserve. I think we have a minimum of 6% reserve so that if we have any kind of shortfall from the state, we have not had to borrow money or cut anything inappropriately in the middle of the school year, and we are on track again this year to manage that.
Well done.
So, one, if you start off with the right fiscal stewardship for our taxpayers, you know, like the president of our board says, that we have a responsibility to our students, we have a responsibility to our staff, and we have a responsibility to our taxpayers. And we all take that seriously. And we look for student achievement. We look for a fair and equitable workplace for our teachers. And we look to make sure we're a good steward of our tax dollars. I mean, we refunded our bond last year and saved $3 million for the taxpayers. So we're always looking for ways to take care of things. You do things right to begin with. It's easy to stay on track.
That's a novel concept.
No, Don and DuPont, thank you so much for the call. Thanks for serving your community also through the school district.
I think Don's got to trademark that 3R business, reform, review, and reconsider.
I agree.
I think he's got a very tight, concise way to explain that.
That on a local level of a school district, my dad was on the school board for years.
That's good. I forgot and, about that, but yeah.
You know, and you look at that and you think, okay, well, little old school district. It's just a school district.
Yep.
But you've got a lot of lives that depend on that school district. You've got a lot of futures that depend on that school district. And in the sense of what they're looking at, as he said, they keep a 6% buffer
reserve.
There, 6% reserve. Yeah. And it's mind-boggling that a little old school district can figure that out just fine, function just fine with different elected leaders, and move forward. But on the national level, we can't seem to do it.